Now, Elizabeth Wilcox has written a story about mothers and daughters, but also about the story of the trauma we carry with us. Here to tell us about her book, The Long Tale of Trauma. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you very much. Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit more about the book then. I read that it's a multi-generational memoir.
Yeah, so basically, my mother's British and my father's American, and my mother grew up in England and in Germany, also spent some time in Holland, really on the continent, but also in England. And she, along with her mother, who was half German and half English, endured a lot of trauma, mostly emanating from the First World War and the Second World War. But the war really had a great impact on both her and her mother, as it did in so many Europeans. And since I was in my 20s, she's been sharing the stories of her mother and herself with me. And so I decided to write a story about it. So it's a memoir, but I call it a multi-generational memoir because it's really my grandmother's, even my great-grandmother's memoir, my grandmother's memoir, my mother's memoir, and it's my sort of interpretation and reading of that in terms of how that story and how those events affected them in their later life.
Yeah. I often think about this when I see documentaries or films about the war years, and you see those little children being separated from their parents, and that's got to be very traumatic for both parties.
Yeah. I mean, in particular, so both my grandmother and my mother were separated in early childhood from their parents. My mother through Operation Pied Piper, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, but basically what the government did in England in the Second World War is they said, listen, we've got to protect these children in London from the bombs, and we've got to get them out of London. So they did something called Operation Pied Piper, where they sent children out of London with numbers around their neck, up on trains to the north of England, and they were picked up by strangers. A lot of literature around that time, Paddington Bear, C.S. Lewis, speaks to this period of time. But what happened is these children were picked up by strangers. My mother was aged 3, and her younger brother was aged 1.5, and they ended up living in a series of foster homes and later boarding schools. But my mother underwent a fair amount of abuse, and in fact, what they later determined, they did a study of these, particularly the women who had participated as young children in Operation Pied Piper, and they found that close to half of these women in their later years experienced level 2 depression or greater, because it's so traumatic for young children to be separated from their parents. As you can hear in my voice, I'm American, and part of the impetus behind this writing this book was seeing young children being separated from their parents along the border in the U.S. Yeah. And also a lot of the immigration policies where young children were being separated from their parents. And I felt like we really needed to talk about the long-term impact of that.
Well, you are right. I mean, depression, yes, PTSD, which wasn't understood back then, but you can imagine they had post-traumatic stress disorder after what they went through.
Correct. Exactly. And that's what my mother ended up. So my book has kind of two narratives. The first narrative is this historical fiction, which begins in 1904 with the birth of my illegitimate grandmother. And then the second narrative is my mother and I discussing her past back from me in my 20s, and I'm now 53, up to present day. And the reason I did that is because in her elder years, you see my mother developing PTSD from these years. And I really wanted to show the impact, exactly as you say, of this separation, this early childhood separation, how it manifested in later years.
Yeah. In spite of that, though, credit where credit's due, because in spite of that, your mother managed to raise 7 children successfully.
Yeah, which is really quite something. I mean, there's a lot of literature out there and studies which show that it's very hard to break the legacy of trauma, particularly if you haven't been parented yourself. So she never attached as a young child because she didn't have a parent to attach to. To then be able to turn around and raise seven children, and we're all reasonably, you know, well-adjusted and emotionally competent, that is a very heroic act and very, it's just absolutely amazing. And her mother, who was illegitimate, also was separated from her biological mother, to be then later, when she was six, kind of reunited with her. But then First World War broke out and all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
So that's a very good point, because to be able to parent, and despite not having been parented yourself, is a very intentional, amazing feat. And so I think I'm very grateful for that.
And you mentioned your mother's Barbara, is that right, and your grandmother's Violet?
Yeah, my mother's, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you mentioned that she was separated from her mother during the war years. She ended up in foster homes. Did they ever get back together? Did she ever see her mum again, Violet?
Yeah, so interestingly, so her mother was interned in Holland. Basically, my grandmother was half German, and she was my grandfather's English, but they were living in Germany, and they left Germany in 1939, ended up back in Holland. Hitler invaded. They escaped, but my grandmother was unable to escape. So when she was finally repatriated through the Red Cross back to England, my mother at that point was age six, and she looked at her mother and was unable to accept her as her mother. She'd been through so much, and she carried some resentment toward her mother. And then her mother had been interned in Holland and undergone a lot of trauma herself. So they just were never able to relate. And so my mother said, you know, I'd rather not go home. I'm going to continue to go to boarding schools, and I'm not going to go home. So her younger brother actually went home. And he had been, because he was a year and a half, and my mother was three when they were sent off to these homes. My mother really parented him. And my uncle then was able then to kind of transfer attachment back to his mother. But my own mother was never able to connect to her mother. And it was a real tragedy. And so when my mother, my grandmother died, they were still within this, they had this huge falling out, and they had never repaired that relationship.
That's such a shame, isn't it? It was nobody's fault.
Exactly. It's the legacy of trauma. And something that I really want to talk about in this book is Europe in particular has been through so much trauma in the wars. We often talk about the men on the battlefield, and we see them, you know, dying and losing their limbs, and this physical result of trauma and war. But we don't often talk about the impact on women and children and what's happening to them off the battlefield. And it's really significant. It's sort of mental health, but we don't talk about that. We now talk about PTSD, but we don't actually say, what does it look like? And we need to validate it and really talk about the impact of this hardship and these wars, not just on the battlefield, but off the battlefield as well.
Yeah, and on the children as well. And on that point, reading the narrative of the book, what does ACEs mean, A-C-E-S?
Oh, so ACE, so it's very interesting. So ACE is Adverse Childhood Experiences. And now in the U.S., and I think abroad as well, there was a big study done in the 1990s with Kaiser Foundation and the CDC. And what they looked at is the impact of adverse childhood experiences on adults in their later life. And they basically distilled ACEs down to sort of 10 primary adverse childhood experiences, things which include abuse and different types of hardship that children experience. And what they found is that if you have experienced even two ACEs, it can have significant impact on your lifelong learning, mental health, and success in later life. And I look at someone like my mother, and I think she experienced 4 to 5, I mean, really significant. And I think my grandmother also experienced a lot of ACEs. And the research shows now that those early childhood, those adverse childhood experiences really can have long-term impact. But something else, I recently was giving a talk about this and with a psychologist, and she was saying, while relationships harm, they can also heal. So the most reparative kind of function of life, the relationships can be very reparative as well. So my mother was able to overcome, in a way, raising her children through her relationship with her husband, through her children, and she was able to form these other very strong relationships, which really helped her overcome the negative impact of the early relationships that she had.
Interesting, really interesting stuff. And we've heard about your mum, Barbara, your grandmother, Violet. It is a memoir. Is there much about you in it as well?
Yeah, so that's actually, you're asking really excellent questions. So what it is, that first narrative, I said there are two narratives. So the other narrative is me talking with my mother and me trying to, there's something called, they often talk about the mask of trauma, and the mask of trauma is the behaviors that result from early childhood trauma. And so for my mother, it was this manifestation of PTSD. And it's me as her daughter trying to learn to see past that mask of trauma to what they call the core self. So to be able to say, listen, you know, this behavior that my mother's exhibiting, which is a part of her PTSD, whether it's depression or a challenge with kind of regulating her anger, that's just the result of this early childhood trauma. It's not who she is, because she's a very loving, responsive, supportive, always believed in me. And the other thing to bear in mind is that there's a certain inheritability to trauma, so to the effects of trauma, rather. They've done studies looking at mother rats, and these mother rats have developed these behaviors. For example, if they starve the rat, they might hoard. And then what they see in the female rat, the pups, is that some of these pups have these same behaviors, even though they didn't endure the trauma. So there's something called epigenesis, where you can alter the expression of the gene that then is inherited. So, for example, my mother has anxiety as a result of everything she endured, and her mother has the same. And in fact, I carry a little bit of anxiety myself now, even though I had this wonderful childhood. And so being able to recognize that within myself and to say to myself, okay, this is impacting how I'm relating with my mother. How can I do, you know, how can I be more objective here? So that's why it's a multi-generational memoir, because it's also looking at myself and how I relate to my mother in the context of this intergenerational trauma.
Yeah, and having an understanding as well, I suppose.
And being empathic.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's so key. And, you know, here in the United States, as you're probably well aware, I mean, empathy is so important. It's a bridge. It's what brings people together. It's what, how you make progress. And we can't be really divided. We have to think, okay, what are they thinking? What angle, where are they coming from? And really being able to do that. And that's what my own kind of journey is within this book.
Yeah, well, it sounds like an excellent read. It really does. It's called The Long Tale of Trauma by Elizabeth Wilcox, who we're speaking to now. We're selling it on our website, tre.radio. And if people want to find out more about you, Elizabeth, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. You can go to elizabethwilcox.net, which is elizabethwilcox.net.
ElizabethWilcox.net. Smashing. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing just a part of your story with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.